Well, let's bring on Paul Jones, Raptors radio analyst, to break down the Game 1 win by the Raptors over the Wizards. And Paul is just saying to George that I'm sure if you hook the Raptors up to some truth serum, and I think a lot of the fan base is feeling the same way today as well, breathing a sigh of relief that the team has finally won a playoff opener to kind of get that monkey off their back.
You know what, guys? And I think that if you have been watching the Raptors all year and them talking about refining their system so that it will help them in the playoffs, that's exactly what happened yesterday. I mean, I could see people looking at the first half stat sheet going, oh man, look at Kyle and DeMar, like both in single digits and oh no, you know, down at half, and people like, here we go again. But DeMar DeRozan is one of the top 10 scorers in the NBA in third quarter scoring. He had 12 in the third quarter. He's, like I said, he's fifth in the NBA in third quarter scoring with about an average of 8 points a quarter. Well, he had 12 in the quarter. They came out very aggressively. And then in the fourth quarter, you know, when it was, the game was hanging in the balance there and it was really, really back and forth. I thought that the style that the Raptors had kind of played all year really, really benefited them. They had 7 assists in the fourth quarter. You didn't see Kyle and DeMar forcing shots, didn't feel that they had to do it themselves. Other guys were knocking down shots, CJ Miles, and I'm sure you guys were talking about Lucas. That's what I probably heard when I first came on. Yeah, he did terrific job when he was in the game. So I just think, you know, the fact that Dwayne Casey has rolled with those guys all year, well, you know, he kept rolling with them, and they paid really, really big dividends in that entire game. And it shows the style that they played is different, and that's what's going to benefit them going forward.
Jonesy, we know we always have to concentrate on Kyle and DeMar, and offensively they combined for 28 points. But what I really liked yesterday was Lowry's defense in the second half, especially against Beal and Wall. Is that something we don't talk enough about, that Kyle Lowry brings to the table, and something we need to concentrate maybe a little more on this playoff run instead of just what he's shooting and what the points he's putting up?
Well, and because he doesn't have the mileage on him, George, he can play that kind of defense. He can get up into people. He can make it difficult. It takes a lot of energy. You've got to be in great shape to play hard at both ends. Given the choice, a guy'd rather save himself for the offensive end than the defensive end. But Kyle knows he's got other people to help him. And he was just anybody he got switched on to, he was just terrific defensively. And he's always been able to do that even when his scoring wasn't going. And I think maybe that, as you pointed out, George, that maybe that stood out a little bit yesterday. But, you know, I just think the way they've been playing all year, they've refined a style for the playoffs, and now they're going to use it going forward. And you're right. We always look at Kyle and DeMar, but, I mean, DeLon Wright was terrific yesterday off the bench. You know, Ananobi, who is a starter but a really one of the young guys without a lot of experience, had 12 points. So, and look, don't kid yourself. John Wall had a terrific game for Washington, and they lost. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, it's funny you talk about the kids and DeLon Wright and OG Anunoby. And that for me what I was really interested to see heading into game one is how are these young guys going to, you know, do heading into the first game of the playoffs. And I mean, OG Anunoby takes that three early on, looks so confident doing it. He's been shooting the three really well for the last part of the season. DeLon Wright, I thought, got off to a bit of a shaky start, some of the decision-making, some of the turnovers early on, but then he really settled in. It was great. Jakob Poeltl played some strong defense down low with the rim protection. So all the young guys really came through for the Raptors yesterday. But you did mention John Wall, and I wanted to talk about him for a second. And I think it's pretty clear that he's feeling good right now. 23 points, 15 assists. He only shot 6 of 20 from the field, Paul, like you mentioned, and he missed about like 10 layups down low. A bunch of them were contested for sure. But that's clearly something heading into game 2 and the rest of the series that Dwayne Casey and his staff need to figure out, because John Wall right now can pretty much get anywhere he wants.
Well, I think you have to devise a game plan knowing that, the same way they did with James Harden. He's a guy who's bigger, stronger, and I'd say a more refined offensive player. And I know they're regular season games, but they devised a game plan for him. And for Harden, it was, you know, we're not letting you shoot the three. We're going to force you into the lane, and you're going to take contested twos. And I think they're kind of doing the same thing with John Wall. We're going to force you into the lane. Try not to help, so that when people come off you, you're going to pass it and find somebody else. We're going to stay home with those guys, and we're going to contest you at the rim. And it looks like they were pretty good accomplishing that yesterday.
Jonesy, Serge Ibaka yesterday, because we always concentrate on Colin DeMar, and he was tremendous yesterday. 23 points, 12 rebounds, and one assist. It's like we're surprised when Serge Ibaka plays well, but isn't he supposed to be the third banana on this team, Jonesy? Isn't he supposed to be that difference maker? That's why the Raptors gave him all this money in the offseason to be a difference maker when it matters most?
Yeah, they did, George, and he has been. I mean, he's taken some of the rest time and really kind of ramped it up. He's been good the last few games. I mean, when Serge has 20 or more, the team is undefeated in the regular season. I know it's different, but that's the only thing we have to base it off. He looked like he had the spring back in his legs. And I mean, there was one point in the second quarter, he defended a 3-on-1 by himself and they got nothing. They had a contested layup that they missed, the Wizards. So, and here's the other thing too. And I think we've talked about this. When Serge knows the ball is moving and he's going to get his shot attempts and his teammates start looking for him, he relaxes. I think the Raptors get in trouble when Serge gets the ball and he starts trying to make plays, not that he can't for a couple dribbles, but when he's messing with the ball or when he's holding it or looking to make a play. Hey, Nick Nurse, their assistant coach, I've talked to him, and he's an offensive guy, and he says the rule is when you catch the ball, shoot it, drive it, pass it, don't hold it. And when Serge does one of those three things on a split second decision, he's a very good offensive player. When he holds it and you can see the wheels turning, I think it becomes difficult. The offense bogs down. So I like the fact that he's engaged in that way. And when he knows he's going to get the ball, he's good with it.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that too. There was a lot of purpose with the movements that he was making on the court and decision making. And there are still those moments, Paul, where he catches it, pump fakes, and then you're sort of like, okay, what are you going to do next? Those still happen from time to time. But I thought yesterday, for the majority of the game, there was a lot of purpose to what Serge Ibaka was doing on the offensive end. When it comes to Lucas Nogueira, we touched on a little bit. He definitely was a game changer there coming in the second half, especially defensively. And I wonder, I mean, Jonas Valanciunas, Paul, got off to a really strong start and then really wasn't much of a factor the rest of the game. And it was pretty evident that when Marcin Gortat was not on the court, and whether it was Mike Scott, Markieff Morris, Otto Porter Jr. out there, as far as the combo for Washington at the 4-5, it was difficult for Jonas Valanciunas to keep up. And I wonder, is Lucas Nogueira going to be a bigger factor here heading in the rest of the series, you think?
He's always a big factor. He gives you some of the elements that Jakob Poeltl gives you, but he's a better, instinctively and innately, he's a better passer in the high post. He's a better quarterbacker. He's the guy that does, I just told you the Nick Nurse, shoot it, pass it, drive it. Lucas does those bang. Instantly, those decisions are made. He's very good at getting the ball. You know, it comes from the strong side. He catches in the high post in the high post area, bang to the weak side because there's a guy open. He's great in the chemistry with Lowry rolling to the basket. He defends, he rebounds, he's long and he's athletic. So, yeah, I think so. But, you know, to the point about JV, and I said this years ago, guys, and, you know, I don't know if people kind of get to, you know, the Paul Jones family syndrome where they just kind of tune me out. But people wanted to get rid of JV, and I said, no, that's the plastic bag that you throw out. And then 5 minutes later, you go, you know what, I need a plastic bag. He's the guy that when you have a traditional center like Gortat who can rebound and finish down low, you need a guy to cover him. You need a guy to occupy him at the other end so he can't get uncontested defensive rebounds and contest the paint. And Valanciunas is that guy. I mean, you need him when you see Hassan Whiteside. You need him when you've got that kind of a traditional matchup. So, Rob, I'm not surprised that he doesn't play a lot against the Mike Scott and Markieff Morris lineup, but Gortat's in there. It's kind of like matching lines in hockey. All right, Jonas, it's your turn.
Sure.
So you do your job, you play your role, and when it's somebody else's time to dance, you sit down and you let them dance. And it's very simple. And again, I go back to giving Dwayne Casey credit for rolling seven deep on his bench down to 12 men. You know, they can all help him out.
Jonesy, obviously they cleared that mental hurdle of winning a game one yesterday, and you just mentioned the depth. And when I look at the depth in the two teams, it's not even close. Obviously the Wizards are very top heavy, but could this potentially turn out to be a very short series potentially for the Raptors? And does it need to be if they have visions of beating the Cavs in the next round potentially?
It would be good if that's the case, George.
Does it need to be?
I don't know if it needs to be because they're deeper this year, you know, and Lowry and DeRozan's minutes are down and they're playing a different style where those guys don't have to work as hard to get scores and to get baskets and people can't lock in on them because of the way they're moving the ball and everybody else involved. So it would be nice if it is, George, but I don't know if it necessarily needs to be. You know, it might benefit them to have the other guys going a long series. So, I think the Raptors have built to try and, you know, advance all the way through. And again, I go back to the style that they played all year being the key to set them up for that.
Yeah, well, it was a strong game one result for the Raptors. We'll see how they do coming up in game number two against the Wizards on Tuesday night. Paul, we appreciate the time today, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, Rob.